Wondering how to improve your oral systemic practice? Join me, Shirley Gutkowski, in my guided mastermind. Each one-month mastermind tackles a single topic that's easy to implement because you and your colleagues plan it and implement it together. 1 month, one topic, affordable. Contact me by email at shirley@crosslinkradio.com for more information or to sign up. Good morning and welcome to Crosslink Radio. This is Shirley Gutkowski, your host of, so far as I know, the only podcast that talks about health, total health, including the health of the mouth. And that is one of the things that separates me from everybody else, plus my lilting voice and my beautiful, wonderful personality that nobody can ever shake a stick at. Although they try. They really, really try. So I'm getting ready to go on a lot of trips coming up. So as you may have noticed, the episodes are a little bit sporadic. So I'm happy to have this one here for you today. We are going to be revisiting with the Dental Hygienist Alliance and Lori Lauder. Lori has been a dental hygienist for 21 years and a vocal advocate for her profession. She received her baccalaureate degree from Idaho State University and her master's degree from the University of California, San Francisco. Lori is the creating force behind the Dental Hygienist Alliance, a group focused on educating the consumer on dental matters, and that's who we're going to be talking with today. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Shirley. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm so glad that we are going to be revisiting this topic because this is one of my big passions, as we've talked about for the last, I don't know, almost 20 years? Well, maybe. What's going on with the Dental Hygienist Alliance? What is the next press release?
So, as you know, the Dental Hygienist Alliance is focused on letting the public know what a dental hygienist does for your health. And so we want to let, that's where our focus is going to be. So the next press release coming out soon is going to be reasons you need to ask for a dental hygienist. So we believe sometimes we get caught up as a profession in what's going on between professions. And instead, I'd like to really get caught up on what we can do for the public. People who need services, people who need help, people who need help questions answered. And that's what this next press release is going to be about.
That's awesome because I don't know that regular folks know that dental hygienists can be employed or should be employed outside of the dental practice. Now, California has probably not the best laws for dental hygienists because you're still attached to a dentist in pretty much everything you do outside the dental office. Is that right?
Yes. California has registered dental hygienists and alternative practice. They still do need to have a dentist associated with their business.
And in Wisconsin, a patient can be seen by a dental hygienist so long as they've had a dental exam within the last 12 months. And that goes for alternative settings as well. So in a long-term care facility, for instance, the patient's need to have an exam by a dentist, and then the dental hygienist can do treatment based on the recommendations by that dentist. And I think that is, what do you think? Is that pretty much how it is across the country and aside from maybe a handful, 5 or 6 states?
I believe that is how it is across the country. In California, the APs, the alternative practice hygienists, can see a patient, I believe it's either 18 months or 2 years that it's been undergoing some change, before they have an exam with a dentist. Mm-hmm. And what we find is the hygienists refer to the dentist for problems before the dentist ever really needs to be there for an exam. So the laws in all the states kind of baffle me. It's like, why can't we send someone who recognizes problems, who can recognize a disease process, mm-hmm. Help the patient with education and what treatment is needed on a prevention level, and then refer that person to a dentist or refer a dentist to come in and see that person. That makes so much more sense than waiting for busy dentists to find time in their schedule to go out and volunteer to do exams on all these people so they can be treated in the way they need to be treated. Hygienists are educated. They go to college for at least 4 years. They know how to recognize signs of disease. They know when referral is appropriate, and what level of referral, like needs to be referred today. It can wait a couple of weeks. And they can alert dentists to those issues and get dentists focused on those patients who need to see them. I mean, a dentist time is valuable as well.
It is really valuable, and to get a dentist to volunteer their time, like at a nursing home, it's, I don't know, if you're not getting paid for something, I don't know what kind of a job you do. Not that to, just use a broad, horrible brush on everybody, but why can't we just be paid for what we're doing? And does a dentist really need to be the first person to see everybody and have like a prescriptive thing going down to a dental hygienist when every other referral system refers up from one practitioner up to a more intense level, practitioner who has more education and more experience in this or that area?
Exactly. And it's like I said, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of the dentist's time. It's definitely a waste of patients' valuable time because patients need to be seen. All patients deserve to be seen. They need to be seen where they can be seen. It's not possible. I don't, we can place blame where we want, but it's not possible for every person who needs dental care to get to a dental office. It's just not. And those patients deserve to be seen as well. So
Exactly.
it makes so much more sense in those settings, especially look at other countries, schools. And I don't always just focus on children's health, but look at schools.
It's a good
New Zealand,
example.
Australia, they've almost gotten rid of the child dental diseases because they have hygienists in schools. Those hygienists see those patients. They refer where necessary, and they've taken care of a huge problem without wasting resources. And
Well,
it just makes more sense to do it that way.
what I've started to say is that is to just highlight this idea that dentistry, traditional, drill and fill kind of dentistry, is only necessary when dental hygiene fails.
Exactly.
So that is why we need to be out in the field. And it's not just schools, right? It's not just
No, not at all.
nursing homes. We're talking about in cardiac offices with cardiologists or oncology practices to work with
Respiratory
those people.
practices. We can work side by side with respiratory therapists and do so much good for so many patients who obviously cannot get to a dental office. And that's the point. We
And they
need to
don't
serve
need
them
a
where they need to be served.
dentist. They need somebody to help them get the dreck off their teeth.
Right.
And dentists don't like doing that.
And that's honestly not what dentists are educated to do. That's
No.
what hygienists are educated to do. For 3,000 hours, we're educated to do this. And then we practice. It doesn't compare to what dentists are educated to fix disease problems.
To manage the form and function of the teeth and the mouth.
Exactly.
That's and to put it back into working order. That's what their charge is. And I don't know, do you find this too when you talk to Dennis Laurie that they're just so tired of drill and fill, drill and fill, drill and fill?
Oh, they are. And I see a huge switch with some dentists. Let's put it that way.
Well, yeah.
I tend to talk to the upper echelon sometimes.
Yes.
But I see a switch in dentists who want to address issues sooner. They want to help in this process. But again, their training and their function is to maintain and manage and fix problems in the mouth. And they would much rather see work really well with a hygienist who can help prevent things, and they can be in on these cases that really where prevention didn't work, where these patients need more help. They need the services of a dentist to get them back into proper health so that a hygienist can keep them healthy. And that's where I see a lot of dentists looking. They're looking more for this preventive model that allows them to do what they're educated to do, but with those patients who truly need it the most. And it's not seeing every patient, every time making sure.
Or taking work
Like, let's
away from them, which is another thing that they seem to hang on to, like we're stealing from them or something.
Right, and that's not the point at all either. There would be so much more work for everyone if we could
Yes.
address all the population. We're missing a huge part of the population that needs to be addressed. And it's not by adding, I don't want to say adding service, not adding anything, by allowing a dental hygienist who is educated and licensed to go out and practice their profession would bring more business to the dentist and would increase dental access for everyone. And here's the important part, Shirley. This would affect the overall health of our entire population. I'm not talking about people with decay. I'm talking about overall health of our population. Merely by letting these people who are already educated to do so go out and perform their duties.
That's what I've been saying for a long, long time, that we are, dental hygienists are the missing piece in this whole crisis for healthcare. All of the studies, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I like to generalize quite a bit, all the studies that link oral diseases to any other disease systemically all involve the biofilm. They don't require a filling. They don't do studies on this filling or that filling stopped a heart attack. It's all about the biofilm that's accumulated around the teeth. And there's nobody else in the world that signs up, gives 3,000 hours of their lives and tens of thousands of dollars to become people who are in charge of oral biofilm the way that a dental hygienist is.
There's no one. For the buzzword for the public, and I apologize when I stutter thinking at the same time, the public right now is very much focused on inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
Most preventable diseases are inflammatory diseases.
Yep.
Most of these diseases that are causing the biggest harm in our population today are inflammatory diseases. The first attack against an inflammatory disease is prevention. That prevention is a hygienist controlling that biofilm, mm-hmm. helping the patient control that biofilm. It's education. If we don't educate patients, we can't see them every day to brush their teeth.
No, we can't. You know, we can see them more often than every 6 months or every 3 months.
Exactly.
If we could go out to these places where the people that have a higher incidence of oral biofilm or a caustic oral biofilm, to go visit out into the public and go into group homes, for instance, even where all of this incredible tsunami of autistic people are living, and those people are at extreme risk for so many things, and a lot of that starts right in the mouth, on the teeth.
Yeah, I wish more often. I've spoken to quite a few, but I wish more often parents of people who are living with autism had the knowledge that a hygienist could be so helpful.
Right.
Caregivers of these people, they realize what a hygienist could do for these patients. And it's not cleaning their teeth. It's controlling the biofilm, mm-hmm. working with these people and helping them understand more, working with their caregivers, helping them understand more. Patients who live with autism deserve the same respect and treatment as everybody else, and they can't always get to a dental office.
They can't. They
need to be treated,
afford it.
And they need to be treated where they're comfortable. You can't take someone who's already struggling and put them in an environment that makes them struggle more and expect to do the most good. We need to visit them where they're comfortable.
Where they're comfortable. That's exactly right. I just did a webinar a couple weeks ago for Advancing Excellence in Nursing Home, America's Nursing Home, I guess is the full title. And excuse me, I'm still working with this frog. At the end, someone asked, you know, well, what if you, you know, what are your recommendations for working with these people in long-term care who are extremely combative and resistant, and they won't allow somebody to get into their mouth? And I was like, you know, that should be addressed by diet. We have so many different ways and so many new foods and new ways of looking at old foods that can affect the oral biofilm dramatically that won't require somebody to fight with somebody to brush your teeth. Only a dental hygienist knows that.
Exactly. And that's a whole nother, you just brought up an entire another place for a hygienist to work with
yep.
other people. Excuse my grammar today. If you allow if it was allowed for hygienists and dietitians to team up.
Yes.
Think of the good that could be done right there for massive populations. Again, respiratory care, cardiac care,
yep.
Patients with special needs. There's a number. I mean, the homeless. Let's go simpler than even being in a place. Being able to go out and reach out to the homeless and teach them, and help them. You know, and just fight disease. We have so much disease in this country that could be fought on a much earlier, sooner. We need to fight disease before it happens. That's what prevention is. And that's what people miss. Like, you know, I'm gonna take care of that as soon as it starts to hurt, or I'm gonna start eating better when I have a heart attack. I'm gonna stop smoking when I have a stroke.
What are people supposed to do then, Lori? So what is, you know, Mrs. Jones down the street or Samantha or Bobby or whoever, what are they supposed to do how are we supposed to mobilize these people to ask for dental hygienists? What is the recommendation there?
Well, it starts out simple. So Susie down the street, who has a regular dentist, when she goes in, needs to make sure that she is seeing a hygienist for preventive care, and she needs to ask, because you can't assume.
Yeah.
You may think that Dolly Madison has been cleaning your teeth for the last 15 years as a hygienist. She may not be. So you need to ask specifically in your dental practice, am I seeing a dental hygienist today for my preventive care? Is the dental hygienist the one, and I hate the word, but that's what they're going to say, is the dental hygienist the one cleaning my teeth?
Yep.
Is the dental hygienist the one treating my periodontal disease today? You need to ask that question. Start simple as there. And then we need to reach out to people who have common interests and cares about us. So if you are a caregiver of someone who has cardiac issues, who's living in a long-term facility, and you would like to have them seen, you need to ask that facility, how can I have the person I care about seen by a dental hygienist? Go to your legislator and say, how can I make sure my parent who needs this care so badly is seen by a dental hygienist? What can you do to help me? That's where the biggest changes are going to be made, is by the public demanding of their legislators that people they care about are treated by dental hygienists. And I think that's where it starts.
I often have said that if three lawyers knew that their grandma died in a long-term care facility because nobody brushed their teeth, and that there's a huge and growing mass of dental hygienists who don't have work, what would happen? I think that is the thing that's going to happen.
Yes. If you talk to a legislator and somehow they start to realize that their mother or father who's living in this facility is not getting the care they deserve, mm-hmm. not
or
getting basic
for.
Things that would save their life,
yep.
so they're going to start caring. And once you get other people to care, then more of us can care. But it starts as simple as asking. Ask your dentist. Ask that long-term care facility. Ask the group home where the patients, where the people you care about are living, how you can get access to a dental hygienist for the people you care about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as simple as that. You need to ask. And making sure that it is a dental hygienist, because people are trained, or not educated. People are trained. We're educated to do different things. I guarantee you, I'm the world's worst dental assistant. I can't take an impression to beat my life. But there are people, dental assistants are much better at that. I can't chair side suction. I want to be in the way.
Yeah.
That's not my thing. At the same time, I have skills that I developed over time and through education that other people don't have to provide.
Right.
You need to make sure that dental hygienist is the one providing those services.
And that's kind of a trick. So, there's one state left where dental hygiene license is, bestowed upon a person who is trained just chairside. Maybe not just chairside, but they don't have a full formal education. They have a few classes, and then they are trained by their employer dentist. And that's a problem when they come out of that state and they want to practice somewhere else. Another thing that happens is that very often a dental assistant who worked at a bank or at the grocery store last week is now cleaning your teeth.
Exactly. And you need to ask to make sure that's not happening.
Ask. And the other thing, Lori, is that these foreign trained dentists are coming from wherever they're coming from, they cannot practice as a dentist in the United States without going through the entire dental school experience again, are taking dental hygiene jobs, and they are they going so far as representing themselves as dental hygienists? Or
I don't know for sure, but this really bothers me, and here's the part I don't understand. If someone could explain this to me, it would help immensely. They're trained in foreign countries to provide dental services as a
right.
dentist.
Mm-hmm.
They come to the U.S. and then are allowed to practice a profession they were never trained for.
Right.
They're now allowed to practice preventive dental hygiene, for which they were not educated, nor were they trained.
15
we're
minutes.
Allowing them. It's like allowing. Trying to think of a good similarity here, but it's like allowing a podiatrist who was trained in another country, and they come to the U.S. and say, you know what, we don't want you to be a podiatrist, even though you were trained as a podiatrist, so we're going to let you be a cardiac surgeon.
Yeah.
Because you know, heaven forbid, you could practice podiatry without what we think is proper. These people were trained. I would feel more comfortable with a foreign-trained dentist doing dentistry than dental hygiene.
Yeah.
Because they were educated to do dentistry, not to do dental hygiene.
You're exactly right. It takes a weird person to sign up to clean people's teeth for their livelihood and to study that depth of dental hygiene. And then the other part of that is that the Dental Association is the one who accredits all the schools and develops all the curriculum. So, or at least sets the framework for the curriculum. So they know what we know.
Exactly.
But they're not.
They also know how to twist that in such a way that other people don't know what we know. Believe me, and this is going to sound like a political conspiracy rant. There is a reason hygiene went from mostly baccalaureates to mostly associate degrees. There's a reason that a person goes to school for 4 or 4.5 years to receive an associate degree.
Yeah.
There's a reason behind that, and the reason is people who are afraid to have educated people working with them or under them, and it also makes them appear a little more powerful when you do go to your legislator and they say, but look, mm-hmm. I'm a doctor.
Yeah.
And this person was an associate who has 3,000 hours of education. Can't
yep.
tell you what's right because I'm a doctor.
Yep.
There is a reason our educational degrees were lowered. Our educational standards were never lowered. The educational process was not lowered. The degree offered was lowered.
That's an important distinction. That's
exactly.
really important. All right. So now what we need to do is have our consumers go to their cardiac appointment and go to their physician's assistant and go to their pre-surge appointment. And when the nurse practitioner says, have you had a dental appointment recently? And you say yes or no, ask them why they need to know, because they don't know. And then ask them why they don't have a dental hygienist working next to them to answer that question.
I think that is brilliant, especially pre-surgical. I mean, they demand you have a dental appointment. They don't demand what's in it.
Yeah.
Like, you need to go see your dentist. No, you need to go see your hygienist. If you're going to have surgery, you need to see your hygienist.
Yep.
And make sure that your biofilm is under control.
So how much of this is the fault of the dental hygienist? Sometimes I get really infuriated on these internet groups with dental hygienists. I just posted something a couple weeks ago about if the Reader's Digest came up tomorrow and said, what the real estate agent isn't telling you, what your nurse isn't telling you, what your dog groomer isn't telling you, what would you answer to that question? What is your hygienist not telling you? 80% of the responses were about knowing that you didn't really floss. And I thought, this is maybe why we're not moving ahead more. We're just stuck on this one thing. Where's the dynamic there? What do you think of that?
So the question would be what your hygienist isn't telling the consumer?
Yes. So as a Reader's Digest article, and most of the hygienists
okay.
are saying, I know that you didn't really floss. I know that you really do smoke. You know, stuff like that. It's really super surfacey, and it just doesn't make us look very smart.
It's also pointing fingers. So what we're not telling patients is, I can see inflammation in your mouth, and it leads to many diseases. I can see the beginning of an inflammatory process in your oral cavity.
Mm-hmm.
I am most likely be one of the first people to notice signs of diabetes in your mouth before you know you need to go to your doctor. I can recognize signs of oral cancer.
There you go.
I can recognize signs of other disease processes going on. I can ask you questions. This is really important. People hate health histories. Why do you need to know that? That doesn't concern you.
Yep.
Blah, blah, blah. I can take a simple sheet of paper you've filled out, ask you questions that will lead you to improve your overall health just by talking to you without even leaning you back in the chair. I can take your blood pressure every time you come in and let you know if you need to go see your doctor today. I mean, those are the kind of things we're not telling them.
That's what I was hoping I would find, but, you know, I was really disappointed that there were so many little, you know, digs about flossing or smoking, and I thought, this is what patients hear from us most of the time, too. They don't hear from us that I'm seeing signs of diabetes in your gingiva. Let's do a blood test. They're not hearing that from their hygienist. I talked to a friend of mine whose hygienist talks about her house and all this other stuff. And I thought, you're a very sick woman. Why is that okay? And why hasn't something more been said? So do we Is part of this our problem, Lori? Is it coming from dental hygiene, do you think?
Oh, a lot of it's our problem, but then let's look at the reality from the other side, because I also don't like to point fingers at anyone. Right now, dental hygienists feel very threatened.
Yes, they do.
They're trying to find work where we're allowed to work, which is ridiculous.
Yep.
And they're afraid sometimes to lose that job. So if the dentist says, don't scare Mrs. Peterson about the fact that she has inflammatory disease, the best way that a hygienist knows to address that is, Mrs. Peterson, you need to flop.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is not going to address the disease, but it's going to be a way of addressing that disease. When we're allowed to go out and teach what we're educated, when we're allowed to go to these populations everywhere they are, we're allowed to sit in a dental practice and say, I think you need to see your nephrologist. I think you need to see your general practitioner, whoever is your primary health provider, and talk to them about X, Y, Z, because what I saw today, without the fear of the dentist saying, you scared my patient, don't do that anymore. I've actually temped. I was lucky to work for 15 years with an amazing person, and I was allowed to do these things. But I have temped in places where I was told not to take blood pressure because it might scare the patient. Ridiculous. Some patients need to be scared.
Don't say the C word. Don't say cancer in front of these people. They can't handle it.
Right. And I'm not out for scaring people.
No.
But people deserve to know. You deserve to know if you have inflammation in your mouth that may affect your overall health. You deserve to know if you have an infection in your mouth that's just affecting your breath and nobody's going to want to talk to you. You deserve to know why people on the bus move away from you.
Exactly.
These are things people deserve to know. But you know, some hygienists truly are afraid. They can lose their livelihood for telling you what they know.
That's true, too. That's an excellent point. An excellent point.
And if we are allowed to work everywhere, doing services we're educated to do, and referring those appropriate patients to a higher level provider, i.e. the dentist, those barriers would go away because we'd be able to let patients know all of those things before the dentist becomes involved.
Awesome.
And then the dentist can address those important things with the patient as well. It's working together.
It's more working together. You're right.
Right. Yeah. With everyone, nurse practitioners, doctors, dentists, and sadly, doctors get it more than dentists do sometimes. respiratory therapists. There's no reason respiratory therapists and hygienists don't work side by side. There's no reason dietitians and hygienists don't work side by side.
Speech pathologists, exactly.
Right.
I'm totally with you.
There should be hygienists. There should be hygienists in dialysis centers.
Yes, there should.
You know, everybody working together to make our population healthier.
For less money than you would ever imagine.
Oh, definitely for less money than you ever imagine. And a healthier population is a less drain on the system as well. If you're not going to the emergency room for your toothache.
We should do another show just about the financial aspects of having a dental hygienist free from a dental practice. Because the savings is astronomical. So we are out of time, Lori. I'm so sorry. I know that we get wound up in this, and we could just probably go on for another 45 minutes or an hour. So if people want to reach out to you or they want to know more about the Dental Hygienist Alliance, what's the best way for them to do that?
If you want to reach out to me personally to ask questions or complain, my email address is my name. It is Lori with a Y, Lory, Lauder, @AOL.com, and that is all one word, Lori Lauder. If you're a hygienist, you'd like to find the Dental Hygienist Alliance. It is a Facebook page for reasons I can't discuss here. So you just type in Dental Hygienist with the apostrophe because I try to be grammatically correct, Alliance. And if you are a hygienist and your profile says you're a hygienist, you can immediately be approved. And just get involved. But for the consumer, email me, find me on Facebook. I'm there as well. I'm not really on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. Find me anywhere you can find me. I'm happy to answer questions. I'm happy to get more people involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really a troublemaker. I'm a problem solver, and I want to get that out there more.
Some people always get those two mixed up.
Oh, they do. And I'm not out to make trouble. I'm not trying to be a troublemaker. I'm trying to solve some problems within our profession and also within our population as a whole.
I'm with you on that. All right. Well, we are done. Thank you so much again for joining me a second time about this. And really, I think it'd be good to talk about the potential savings that dental hygienists out of dental practices can help with the entire system And it's all fourth grade arithmetic. It's none of this fancy schmancy economic 107 kind of courses. So, all right, Lori, have a great rest of the day.
You too.
So that was Lori Lauder, and she is from the Dental Hygienist Alliance on Facebook, talking about different places that a dental hygienist can be working and should be working and what the public can do to help facilitate that. This is Shirley Gutkowski of CrossLink Radio signing off, and we'll see you as soon as possible.
You're listening to CrossLink Radio with host Shirley Gutkowski. If you enjoy the content and point of view, please leave a favorable review on Stitcher, iTunes, or Blog Talk Radio. To have Shirley be your personal oral health coach, you can reach out to her via email, shirley@crosslinkradio.com.